Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. As we enter a one-week rest following Easter, we wanted to do a special episode we simply call Rest Episode. We did this last year as we believe rest is important to God and Jesus, and therefore it should be important to us as well. This is a special episode that is made up of two episodes from a series that we did in 2021 called How to Fight Your Battles. It is actually the first and last episodes from that series. If you want to check out the rest of the series, it is available in our archive. Also, one final thing to note is that the episodes used to make up this episode are in their original form and unedited. So enjoy the episode. This series has been on my heart for just about a year. I always try to do a song or worship series from time to time, as there are always new songs that come out that touch my heart in new ways. This series kind of focuses more on worship / Christian music. But I've also done series before on secular music, if that's what you want to call it, rock and roll music or country music or whatever, just because songs can touch my heart in many different ways and I can hear God in different kinds of songs. There's underlining messages that God every once in a while taps on my heart and it's like, oh, that's cool, and it's not a Christian song. But this series focuses a little bit more on Christian / worship music. However, there is one song that is considered a secular song. It's not a Christian song, but it's got some deep meanings to it, and I'm excited to share that one with you. But for this one, we're starting off with this, and that's a little bit of a background on what I mean by a song / worship series. Is I try to work these kind of things in because it's fun to talk about music, because music holds a lot of meaning and a lot of power. And we're going to look at a quote in just a second. But this series that we're starting today, I had planned to do a couple different times over the past year, but I never felt like it was the right time. God always has different plans. And as I've learned over the years, it's better to go with God's plans because God determines our steps. As it says in Proverbs 6:9, and so his plans always prevail. We can always make our plans, but God determines our steps, is what Proverbs 16:9 says. So it's almost kind of like God's like, you can make your plans, but I'm going to take your steps. So your plans may change if my steps take you a different direction. So I originally planned this series for last May, but due to all that was going on last year, and we don't need to talk about 2020, but like, I was going to do it then, but now God nudged me a different direction and we kind of went off on a different way. And we spent some time looking at 2 Chronicles 7:14 during that time that I was originally planning to do a this series. Then the idea came back to me around the fall and I planned it for the fall, but some other things kind of came up and it just wasn't the right time then either. But I was recently sitting in church, and one of the worship leaders was telling a story via a video, and he said the following: I'm still amazed at the power of music. It's fascinating for so many of us. It's a really emotional experience. I want people to know that when they are listening to music and they are moved by it, that God is with them. When the music stirs you and moves you and makes you cry and makes you laugh, somehow I really believe that God is with us in those moments. It's a way that he's saying, I feel it. I understand what life is. I think that's what music was meant to do. And this isn't just worship music that this worship leader was talking about. This is music. That God is with us. That God understands what life is. And we often sometimes forget that. We really do. We forget that God was human too. We forget that Jesus experienced these emotions that we experience. He experienced sorrow and grief and happiness and joy and all of that. He experienced these things. So after sitting there in that moment, I felt God nudge me. Now it was time to run this series. You see, God had always planned for it to be at this time. And it wasn't ready this past fall or this past last spring when I wanted to do it. God knew that I was going to need to sit in that space and hear those words and move in this way. Music has always been something special for me. I am by no means a heavy music listener. Okay, I don't like listen to hours and hours and hours of music. There are moments in time where I listen to music more, and there are seasons of life where I listen to music less, and sometimes I hit right in the middle. But I go through times, like I said, where music is a big part of my life. I am sure that you guys are the same way, where music helps you through a season of life. Whether that's a regular music listener, whether it's a different, whether it's intermittent, whether it's when you need it, you got these go-to songs. And all genres of music can help us through. But there is one that I hold close to me, and that is worship music. While all other genres of music tap my emotions and help me process the emotions that I'm trying to deal with, worship music helps draw me back to the source that matters the most, God. In this series, we are going to be looking at some songs that have helped me fight my battles, if I could quote the song that we're looking at today. But fight my battles and remind me of who God is. Like I said, any type of song can do that if you're listening for God. But worship music, Christian music, drives you in to that space. The first song in this series that we're going to look at together is Surrounded by Michael W. Smith. This song is the song that the series is based on out of because it calls us to a position of worshiping God as a way to fight our battles. Here are the lyrics to the song. This is how I fight my battles. And then it says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And it repeats those lines. It repeats, this is how I fight my battles. It repeats it many times. Then it repeats, it may look like I'm surrounded by you. And it repeats that. And it repeats these two paragraphs over and over and over again. This song kind of has a double meaning for me. Okay. First, we can fight our battles by worshiping God Almighty. As I just mentioned, this song has two paragraphs that are repeated three times. So the song isn't lyrically a lot of words. But what the song does is draw you into the presence of God and that he is fighting your battles. This part of the song calls us to be still and be in the presence of God. And it reminds us of who God is. It reminds us that we might be surrounded, but God is bigger than what we're surrounded by. I'm reminded of the verse in Exodus, "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." And that's Exodus 14:14. And then the second thing that this song reminds me of, and I'm going to tie all this together, but the second thing the song reminds me of is God is always there, and he's bigger than my problems. We can feel like we are surrounded by all the battles that we face in life. And we can forget that God surrounds our battles. I am reminded of the Israelite people in the book of Exodus. In Exodus 14, just before this verse, they're being pressed in by the Egyptian army. And the Red Sea is behind them. The Egyptian army is pressing in front of them. They're literally surrounded by problems. They're surrounded by the fact that the Red Sea is there and they can't cross it. And they're surrounded by the Egyptian army that's coming in after them. They had to have felt surrounded. and hopeless and out of place. And if they'd have just stayed in Egypt, they keep saying. But it's this that God tells Moses to tell the people, the Lord will fight for you. Even though they felt surrounded, God was trying to tell them that he was surrounding them too. So not only were they surrounded by what they could see, they were surrounded by what they couldn't see. They were surrounded by God himself. And he was going to protect them. And he was going to fight for them. Just like he does with us in our battles. God surrounds what is surrounding us. This is why I love the message in this song. The lyrics of the song invite us to let God fight our battles, and he offers a reminder that God is bigger than our problems and he's always there for us. He is always fighting for us, and he will always be with us, and he's always with us. And that's what this song invites me to remember. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And it just keeps repeating that over and over and over again. In this gradual progression, it starts off kind of slow and low key. But by the end, it's just this dynamic, powerful declaration that God is fighting our battles and that he is surrounding us. And it's so important for us to understand that. It's so important for us to get that. Because like I've said before, the Israelite people, they could have tried to fight their battle for them instead of sitting down, being still, and waiting for God to do what he was going to do, which was part the Red Sea. But they could have picked up whatever they could find, and they could have tried to take on the Egyptian army. But that's not what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to see what he was going to do. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to know that he's fighting our battles, and if we would just wait and be still for just a few minutes, for just a few moments, maybe it takes a little longer, but if we could just be still and let God fight for us, we will see what he's going to do. And that's what this song does for me. And just like the other songs we're going to look at in this series, I'm excited to continue on with this. But I encourage you to look this song up. It's called Surrounded, Fight My Battles. It's by Michael W. Smith. You can find it on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you listen to your music, you can find this song. But just give it a listen. Just let it pour into you that God is fighting your battles and that he is surrounding you. We are surrounded by God, and he is always there to help us and to fight our battles if we just be still. We will be looking at the song Sea of Victory by Elevation Worship. The song came out in 2019 and served as a reminder to me about the victory I had seen in an area of my life. I want to share that story with you in this episode. I want to share that story with you. About 2 years before the song came out, so 2017, I found myself in a situation that I didn't expect. As it normally is with battles, they tend to come out of nowhere. And at the end of 2017, I found myself at the end of a marriage. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to think. I surely didn't see victory. But sometimes you don't always see the victory right away. All I saw were the battles. All I saw was the battle of loneliness, the battle of disappointment, the battle of heartbreak, the battle of change, the battle of moving on, the battle of wondering what was next. There were many battles, more than I probably even listed there. And maybe you know what I mean, and maybe you know what I felt during that time. Maybe a battle of loneliness, or a battle of heartbreak, or a battle of finances, or some type of battle is in your vision right now, and all you can see is that battle. But as time went on, with the help of music, I was able to move forward and put that all in the past. I was able to focus on it differently and look at it differently. And then in the summer of 2019, I found myself engaged to a wonderful woman. Then a month later, I heard this song for the first time. I heard Sea of Victory for the first time. It came out in August of 2019. And the words to the song are in the description of this episode, but it's also here, and I wanted to share some of them with you. It says, "The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Where the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giant because I know how the story ends." And then it says, "I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. And you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good." So that's kind of like an amended, compacted version of the lyrics. As I said, I'll put the lyrics that I just read in the description. You can find the song on Spotify to kind of hear the song in full. But the words above are why I decided to end this series with this song. Every battle belongs to the Lord. As we've said throughout this series, the Lord fights battles for us. The Lord has power and authority. The Lord is victorious. The Lord does not know how to fail. The Lord always has a plan. But as I said, sometimes we don't see the victory right away. Let's look at a story in the Bible from someone that didn't see victory right away either. Let's look at the story of Joseph. And I'm kind of going to nutshell his story a little bit. And we'll just kind of walk through this a little bit. Joseph was one of 12 kids. Joseph also had dreams that made his brothers dislike him. Joseph's brothers also disliked him because he was Jacob's favorite. Jacob would give him gifts and treat him differently. One of the gifts that Jacob gave his son Joseph was a beautiful robe. Sometimes it's referenced as a coat of many colors. And this story, I should have said this before I started, but this story can be found in Genesis 37 through 50. Joseph's entire story is there. So one day Jacob sent Joseph to go check on his brothers and see how everything was going. They were out tending sheep. The brothers knew it was him coming because of the robe he was wearing. So it's like they thought he arrogantly wearing this robe that dad gave him, and look at him coming like he's this big shot, right? And the dreams also didn't help. But as he was approaching, they made plans to kill him. But his brother Reuben spoke up and suggested that they didn't kill him and just put him in a hole so it could look like an accident. And so that's what they did. They took his robe and they put him in a hole. But then it was decided that they were going to sell him instead of leaving him there to die. They sold him to passing traders that were going to Egypt. When Joseph was sold away, they smeared blood all over the robe and ran home. The brothers told Jacob that they found this robe and led him to believe that Joseph was eaten by a wild animal. Joseph finds himself in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar saw that Joseph was good and was pleased with him. So Potiphar made him his personal assistant. He kind of made him in charge, second in command of his whole household. Like, he trusted Joseph that much. But Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of trying to fool around with her. And Potiphar had Joseph arrested and thrown in jail. Once again, though, the Lord was with Joseph, and he succeeded. Even in prison, he succeeded. He was made, once again, in a high position in the jail, and he started to interpret dreams for the prisoners. Remember that thing. One thing that got him in trouble, right? Like, oh, I thought I had this power, but my brothers didn't like it. So now people are asking him in jail to interpret these dreams. Two of the people that he interpreted dreams for were the cupbearer and the baker. And I'm not going to get into what their dreams were. As I said, you can find that in Genesis 37 through 50. And then after he interprets their dreams, Joseph asked for, like, a favor to be returned. He's like, hey, when you get out, you know, remember me, like, send back for me. Remember that I helped you. And that's a whole nother thing for a whole nother time. But this is what the Bible says. Genesis 40:23 says, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph and never giving him another thought. I bet during this time, Joseph didn't feel very victorious. I bet he didn't even feel like God cared. I bet he even thought that God had forgotten him. It was in these moments that we can feel the same way. While we're waiting for a victory, while we're searching for a victory, while we're looking for a victory, we can get bummed out in the waiting. And I'm sure Joseph got bummed out. And it doesn't say so in the Bible. It doesn't like, and Joseph entered this great depression and all. It doesn't say that, but he's human. And when things don't go our way, or when we feel like we've been kind of shortchanged, or we feel like we need a victory, like, why is this happening to me? Like Joseph, like, all I was doing was checking on my brothers. They attacked me. They sold me into slavery. And now I'm here. And then I was in this guy's house and I was doing well for him. And then his wife accused me of this. And then I got thrown in jail. And then I was doing good things in jail. And now I'm forgotten about. But God was there. But we can, like I said, during all of that, we can feel like God isn't there. God doesn't care. God is like, well, you just left me here. What big God, big bad God he is, you know, and we can have this attitude and we can just, but Genesis 41, the very next chapter, if we don't turn the page, or if we don't look at the next column, or if we don't look at the next paragraph, Genesis 41, verse 1 says this: when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. And we can see that, and I remember when that kind of first jumped out of this story at me, right? When 2 full years, Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph's wheelhouse. God didn't give him the ability to interpret dreams to make people mad. He gave the ability to interpret dreams to help people. God had a plan for Joseph all along. When Pharaoh had a dream, he wanted somebody to interpret it. The cupbearer then remembered Joseph. Joseph came before Pharaoh and was able to tell him what the dream meant. And Pharaoh was so thankful and impressed that he made Joseph second in command. Only one with more power than Joseph was Pharaoh himself. This allowed Egypt to prepare for the coming famine and even help other nations, including Israel, which is very key to the story of the Israelites. It's very key to their story, especially when the book of Exodus starts. It's very clear that God was not only protecting Joseph, but that God put Joseph in Egypt to help Israel. So not only was God watching out for Joseph, he was watching out for an entire nation. And that's the first time that that's been revealed to me. So that's like a little bonus content there, I feel. But he was looking out for the entire nation, because as you go into read the book of Exodus, that's why they're in slavery in Egypt. As we've mentioned this in this series already, when Moses got them out, right? They were in slavery, but this is why they were in Egypt, because of this famine that Joseph had prepared Egypt for. And so they were there. But Joseph had to wait 2 full years to see his victory. All the stuff he went through all led him to where God wanted him to be. God had a plan for Joseph, and all of the pieces of Joseph's story didn't make any sense at the time, and they didn't, but then they all became crystal clear, and he was able to see what God was doing all along. You know, I didn't, like I said in my story, I had to wait 2 full years to see the victory that God had for me. The pieces didn't make sense to me, but when I look back at them all, I can see what God was doing all along. God was there looking out for me. God had someone there for me. God had things in place for me. And when this song dropped, when this song "See a Victory" dropped, and I listened to it for the first time, it was almost like all of this stuff unpacked and unraveled. And I saw a victory. I saw the victory that God had given. I didn't see it in the moment. As I've said, Joseph didn't see it sitting in jail, and neither did I. But God had a plan. God had the battle in his hands. God already had the battle won. Like the song says, I know how the story ends. Read the end of the book. God wins anyway. The battle belongs to him. He doesn't know how to fail. So when I was going through the battle, I remember these words now. When I face another battle, I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. The battle belongs to the Lord. These battles belong to the Lord. God has been victorious in the past, and he will be again and again and again and again. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. That is what this whole series has been about. We've looked at different battles. We looked at the battle of being still and letting God just do his work, right? We've looked at so many different battles. And it's encouraging to know that God has always been there. We've looked at the battle of who am I? We looked at the battle of God's goodness, and like I said, the battle of being still throughout the series. But we kicked off the series with the reminder that God surrounds us. God surrounds our battles. When we feel like we're surrounded, our battles don't surround us because something bigger surrounds them, and that's God. And now we're ending it with this gentle reminder that all the battles that we're ever going to face are already won. God has won them. We just have to get through them and let God do what he's going to do so we can see our victory. But we miss our victory. Had Joseph become bummed out, no, I don't want to go talk to Pharaoh. I don't know. Or had Moses been like, I'm not walking these people through nothing anymore. I got them out. Let them fend for themselves. Or if they would have attacked Moses, or if they would have tried to fight the Egyptian army, right? They wouldn't have saw the victory that God had for them, which was putting a whole entire sea between them and Egypt. Joseph, I don't want to go to Pharaoh. He would have just sat and rotted in prison, and he wouldn't have saw his victory of being second in command of Egypt, helping his family and his nation. God is always there for us. And if anything, this series has been good for me to kind of see the pieces and the parts that have been in there and how we started it with, like I said, God surrounds our battles, God fights our battles, to ending it with this reminder that God's will win, that God will prosper, God will never fail, that we're going to see a victory because the battle belongs to the Lord.